There we go. Welcome to OCF. My name is Pastor Paul Karras. Just want to thank you for worshiping with us this morning. We know you have choices. We're happy you chose this place. So for the past couple of weeks, we've been doing a series called Rooted, and we're actually in our final week. But if it's your first Sunday with us here, don't worry, we're going to review here for a second. So it really comes off of this passage here in Psalms 1:3, and I don't know if my clicker is working. Let's try this again. Barb, hopefully you don't have to advance. There we go. So we're looking at this kind of picture that God paints here in the Psalms of what it looks like to be a healthy, vibrant Christian here. And it says, he's like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. And, you know, as we think about, as I think about life, you know, we know it's hard sometimes. There's challenges and things like that. And I think for us as Christians, the goal isn't just to kind of survive this life, but it's to thrive through this life. And so we're kind of looking at what it means to be growing in the gospel that we received at the beginning. And so week one, we looked at this idea of Matthew 13, how the soil matters. We looked at the four different soils that Matthew 13 describes here. The hardened heart, the troubled heart, the distracted heart, and the fertile heart. And so, and I loved coming out of Matthew 13. There's a lot of things I loved about that, but that we learned that the sower, he sows the seeds generously. It's not like he just picks this person or that person to sow in. And so the gospel is meant for everybody, no matter where you are. And we talked about in gardening how there are things we can do to kind of enrich and enhance the soil to make it more hospitable for growth. And so we looked at some of those ideas and things like that. But the bottom line was that we looked at this idea that the soil does matter for when it comes to healthy growth and for the word of God to take deep root in our lives. And then we looked at 1 Corinthians 3, and we looked at the aspect of growing. You know, after we plant something, we expect it to grow. And so we really just looked at this main idea that it's God who does the growing, and yet he allows us to play a part. And so he invites us into that process, but it's God, it's through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that grows the word of God in our lives, if we are accepting of that. And then week three, we looked at John 15. This was last week's message, and we looked at the idea of the pruning aspect that goes on, because it's part of the process. Yesterday, actually, we're working on our yard, and my wife is sitting there with the flower baskets, deadheading and cutting things out. Of course, I'm trying to instruct her, the guy who doesn't know anything about gardening. I'm like, I don't think that's what you should do. I made that mistake once other time. My wife played soccer in college. I didn't play soccer, and I tried to instruct her. That wasn't a good date. Just guys, don't try to instruct your wife on things you have no idea about. It's not a good idea. But it's this, we looked at this aspect of pruning, and that's what my wife was doing yesterday. And so that process that God takes us through in our lives to remove the dead things that keep us from really growing and looking more like him. And we came down to this final conclusion that a connection to the vine will produce fruit. And so that is the John 15 passage about remaining in him. So as we conclude the series this week, we're rounding out. And so as we plant, we grow, we prune, the next logical thing that we hope for in any gardening aspect is this idea of harvest, that we get something for the work that we go through. And so today I want to kind of look at how the scripture describes the harvest. And so if you guys have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to put your finger in Matthew and in Galatians 5 and 6. And if that seems a lot to do, don't worry, the words of the scriptures will be up behind me. But I'm going to ask you to stand as we read these verses together. So we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25. And then we'll jump over to chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. And then I'll instruct you about Matthew. But let me pray first. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time that we can engage in your word, God. I pray, Lord, that it would read fresh to us, Lord, that we would not miss anything that it is that you're trying to teach us this morning about the harvest, God. And what does that look like in our lives and in the lives of others, God? And so we pray, Lord, that your spirit would reveal to us your truth this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of your flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Love this verse because it's very straightforward at us. If you feel like, why do I make mistakes in life and why can't I get this right? It's because you have two natures in you that are in conflict with each other. And the scripture says, that's what's going on. So, and it's pointing to this idea, it's a choice that we have to make to either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. He goes on to say, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now turning over to Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in a due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And our final passage this morning, Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You may be seated. So here's what we're learning in a broad sense from these scriptures, that God wants us to develop these spiritual gifts inside of us, the spiritual fruit that we just read about in each one of us, so that we can move towards more looking like Jesus Christ. In allowing the work of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives, this helps us move from the infancy, from the planting phase, to maturity in Christ. And so there's this process that we're going through. And two, these fruits that are developed inside of us, the purpose for that is to equip us to do the good work that God has prepared ahead of time for the glory of the kingdom. So I want to look at first a little bit at what this harvest from the standpoint of what God is working to bring maturity inside of us. Because there's two things here that's going on. There's a maturity, this harvest that he's trying to bring about in us. And then there's this harvest of which we read about in Matthew. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes here. But the scripture says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so, in essence, we're learning here that there's this harvest of the fruit of the Spirit that God is trying to bring about in our lives. We see this in the idea of love, joy, peace, patience, the kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there's no such law. And I dare say that none of us have the corner on all of these things. So if you're thinking, man, I'm not there yet, don't worry. That's part of the process. But I believe when we accept Christ, we're told that we are given the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I believe if these are fruit of the Spirit, I believe these exist in our lives when it comes to accepting Christ as our Savior. However, they need to be exercised and honed to become our new nature, as opposed to what we read about the flesh. And so we know this, the Holy Spirit has many jobs, we're told in Scripture, but one of them is to produce this harvest of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives produce love. We produce joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the qualities that we're told are the evidence to those around us that there is something different about us. And this is the goal. We talked about this a little bit when we did the Great Commission series. The goal is to look like Christ. The goal is to live a curious life to others. Why are you different? Because this is the next step. This is not what the world regularly experiences on a day-to-day basis. These things of joy and peace, love, patience, and kindness. But as image bearers of Christ, this is the goal, and this is what we hope they see. And furthermore, what we hope is we live lives that resemble Christ. People want to know what is different about us. It leads to that question. But the scripture says the key here is to walking with and in the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. The broader Galatians chapter mentions above states that the human nature and the spirit are in conflict with each other. What I said in the scripture there, I love that because it's very refreshing to me. It helps me to make sense of why I do some of the things I do. It helps me make sense of the fact that why I sometimes excel in my love for God, and then sometimes why I could mess up so badly. And it's because I have these two natures that are in conflict, and they're fighting with each other. And daily I have to choose which one am I going to feed, which one am I going to walk in. And the idea to maturity is, again, to live and walk by faith with the Holy Spirit. And this is going to require courage, wisdom, discernment, and intentionality. It's not going to just happen through osmosis. I can't just lay my head on the Bible and go, oh, there it goes. I got everything I need. It doesn't work like that. We're going to have to put some work in this, some sweat equity, so to speak, in this. We're going to have to pursue God. And again, part of this process, as we've already established, is the energy and the pruning process that God takes us through to ensure healthy growth. Now, you share about the fruit of the human nature and the fruit of the Spirit. And I would imagine for most of us, as we think through this list, right, that there are things we're going, man, I'm short on that. I'm really good at that. And sometimes I'm really good at that sin too. We're kind of making this list in our heads and feeling kind of this comparison of like, man, how do we get there? How do I get there? I think we're all aware of our shortcomings, whether we want to say them out loud or not. We're aware of it, you know? And for those of us who are husbands and wives, we point those things out from time to time. So I believe that's the way it works sometimes. Our spouses, we can be mirrors for each other. And sometimes as friends, we can be mirrors for each other, but hopefully we do it in love to see each other grow. I remember as I was thinking about this idea of choosing, this idea of pursuing Christ and walking in the Spirit, I was reminded as I was putting this message together of a movie I saw years ago. Again, I'm a big movie guy, so I apologize if you don't like movie references and things like that ahead of time. But has anyone remembered this movie? Okay. I didn't like the first one, Bruce Almighty. I did like this one. This one was a little bit better. But Steve Carell, who's probably widely known from the TV sitcom The Office, he did this movie here, and he's basically this Congress guy, and you know, he's looking to aspire. He's kind of a junior Congress guy and go up the ranks. And somewhere in the process, he gets this message from God to build an ark. And of course, he's resistant at first, and God is pursuing him to, no, you need to build this ark and things like that. And he's making it very difficult to do his actual job as a congressman. And it gets to the point, becomes infamous. He finally says, fine, I'll build the ark. And as the movie progresses, you see God even starts to make him look like Moses, Noah, so to speak, long beard and gray hair and in the cloak and all that. And of course, the world looking at him thinks he's absolutely crazy that he'd be doing this. And in the process, his wife is like, I'm out. He's nuts. And so it gets to the point in the movie where she packs up the kids, they leave, they head off to a restaurant. Now keep in mind, what I should say, preference, is that his wife has been praying all along that they would be close as a family. And yet at this point in the movie, she's taking off. And so they're at a restaurant and they're having whatever, lunch. Kids take off to the bathroom and the waiter shows up, which for her, she has no idea that the person portraying the waiter is God. And so, you know, he starts engaging in a conversation with her. And it comes out, she's like, you know the guy who's playing Noah right now that's all over the news? She's like, that's my husband. What do I do with that? And so he engages in this conversation. And so let me just read a little bit of excerpt because it ties into, I think, the process that we go through when we pray boldly for God to do work in our lives, to be part of that process of becoming more like him and these things that we are seeking to seek after, the love, joy, peace, how they might develop in someone's life here. And she says this in the movie. She says, well, he says to her, he says, well, you know, about Noah, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the animal showed up in pairs. They stood by each other side by side, just like Noah and his family. Everyone entered the ark side by side. But my husband, Joan says, God told him to do it, to build this ark. What do you do with that? And God's response says, it sounds like an opportunity. He goes on to say, let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, do you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? He says, if they pray for courage, does God give them courage or does he give them the opportunities to be courageous? He says, if someone prays for their family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them the opportunities to love each other? And I love that. When I watched that movie, I thought, that's a great sermon analogy for one day. Well, one day has come. And so as Christ followers, as we look to hone these fruit of the Spirit in our lives, be prepared. If you're asking God to take you through that process to develop these things in your life, think about how he might do that. I think this is actually a very plausible way of how he might accomplish that. That's why I jokingly say when someone's going through a lot of heartache in their life or trouble or frustration, I say, you didn't pray the prayer for patience, did you? Because it sounds like maybe you prayed that prayer. Or it sounds like maybe God is taking you through the process. So I want to look back at this list here, and I stripped it down to the 9 that are mentioned here. Because I think this is important for us as we engage in God's word. I think it's important for us to really wrestle with these things for a second. So I'm actually going to ask you, if you're a note taker, as you look at this list here, is there something there that God wants to get your attention on? And if it is, write it down. And if you're not a note taker, make a mental note. But I just want you to sit with this list here for just a few seconds. And just pray the dangerous prayer. God, what is it that you are trying to grow me in? What is it that you're trying to bring about a greater presence in my life? Because here's the landing point. Having an awareness of the Holy Spirit's voice in your life is one thing. But then following through with it is another. Scriptures tell us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And this leads us to our next point. And it's this. The harvest is a result of what we sow. Galatians 6:8 through 10, I'll just read a portion of it. It says, whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So to say this kind of basic plainly, if a farmer or a gardener plants an apple tree, what does he expect? That he gets a harvest of apples. If he plants tomatoes, he expects that he gets tomatoes, not strawberries or anything else. So if we sow evil into our lives and the lives around us, we will reap in return the same. This is what the scripture is talking about. But it says this, if we want to receive the things of God within our lives, we must sow to please the Holy Spirit. And we should willingly and readily sow love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the goodness, faithfulness, and self-control into all aspects of our lives. And this isn't an easy process. There's going to be times where we get tired and weary of doing good. There's going to be times where I don't feel like it today. And yet, this principle of what we sow, we will reap. And so I want to encourage you guys with this here. Again, we're not meant to do this alone. God's given us his body, but more importantly, he's given us his spirit. And so remember, weariness sets in when we try to do these things in our own strength. Remember what we talked about last week, John 15:5. This is what he tells us. He says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. And so if you feel like you're spinning your wheels, maybe you need to kind of ask yourself, whose strength am I trying to do this in? My own or in God's? And if it's in your own strength or it's in God's, you're going to have to look at some of your daily practices. Are you in the Word? Are you praying? Are you in Christian fellowship? Are you doing some of the things that we know are within our grasp and our control to cultivate that ground, to make that soil more hospitable? Are we doing those things? Are we staying close to Jesus? Or are we far from him at this moment? Again, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. So the question for us right now is, what are we sowing in our lives? What are we doing? Because that's what we can expect to reap. Just as we plant an apple tree, we expect apples, tomatoes, so on and so forth. And so here's the thing I would ask you to think about. There's just a few things here that just came to my mind. When we talk about sowing and reaping, what am I sowing by the things I'm looking at right now? What are the things that I'm sowing when it comes to the company that I'm keeping? What are the things that I'm sowing right now when it comes to the things I'm listening to? Or the things that I'm reading? Or even the thoughts we entertain? There's a whole spiritual battle that goes on there with our thoughts that the Apostle Paul talks about. Or maybe the day-to-day routines of what we do. What are you sowing right now? It's a question I think we need to ask, because as you sow, the scripture is clear on this. It's exactly what you're going to reap. So as you think about growing and being rooted in the faith, what are you doing to be rooted in the faith? What are you sowing towards that end? And again, this morning, there is this ongoing conflict that we need to remember. Again, I love the fact that the scripture is honest with us about that, and yet understanding in some ways. It knows that we have this conflict. And God says, choose. Choose me or choose whatever it is you're choosing. It's up to you. I'm not forcing myself upon you. I'm not telling you this is what you have to do, unless it is that you are looking to grow in your faith and have deep roots. Then do these things. And so we know clearly from Galatians 5 and 6 that we have a daily choice to make, and whatever we decide to sow is what we reap. And so this brings me to my last point of our message today. The harvest should bless others. This is where it's heading. I told you this from the beginning. Jesus said he went throughout the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When people encountered Jesus, they knew something was different about this guy. Clearly. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And this brings us back to the bigger picture. And I'm sorry if you don't like this picture, but I did, and I spent hours looking for it. But when I think about our lives being a blessing to others, and we started with this whole analogy of a tree in Psalms 1:3. To me, this was a great picture. It captured the idea of being planted by water, secure, firm. We see this big tree that's healthy, strong, and creating cover, and we have this guy sitting under it, enjoying the blessings of something that he probably didn't even do to plant. And when I look at that, I'm struck by the idea. I'm like, this is what us as Christians should look like, but this is what us as Christians should be like for others. A place of rest, a place that they can come to, a place where they find, you know, acceptance and this idea of being able to just sit there. And so are we the type of people who are those type of people who are serving to be a rest for somebody else, a blessing for somebody else? Are our lives that way? Are we the tree that people don't want to sit under? Because we're all decrepit and things are dying and things of that nature. Or are we full of life? Is our lives pointing to something? You know, I heard this idea years ago. I'm sure you guys are familiar with this. The idea of the upside down kingdom of God. And I was looking at this, and basically what that means is it's intended to convey the way the kingdom of God challenges the prevailing social order, how the values of the kingdom stand in the inverse relationship to the values of the world. When I think about my life, am I different enough that people see that? That I'm different than what the world values? And is that an attractive thing for people to want to come just sit under and be a part of? That's what I hope for my life, is to draw people. And that's what I hope for each one of here in this church here, Your Right Christian Fellowship, that we would draw people by the way we live for Christ. That we would work from a place of strength, not weakness. And I believe this is God's goal for each one of us. So, practical questions. When I think about the upside down kingdom, I think about things like this. When somebody cuts me off and I'm driving, what's my first reaction? To speed up and give them the bird? Or cut them off at the next intersection? Well, that's what the world would say you do. Or the one who curses you out. I had the most outrageous thing happen to me that I've never in my wildest dreams thought would ever happen. I was pulling into a parking lot, making a left-hand turn, and we have, you know, the turn lane. And there's a guy behind me, and I was waiting for the traffic to open up so I could make that turn across two lanes of traffic. This guy jumped in front of me and screamed curses at me because apparently I took too much time to make the left turn. And in the meantime, almost getting hit himself. Oh, as I drove into the parking lot behind him, I was clenching that steering wheel very hard. What about the person who might steal from you? Bible says, go ahead, take my cloak too. Or people who bring persecution towards you. And I'm not talking about old school where we're putting people on crosses. I'm just talking about the person who just makes it. They're aggravating at every turn for you. Scripture talks about there's going to be people who falsely accuse us. And then how about just the simple people who just have needs, right? There are a few people I can think of in my life that I'm just like, when I see them coming, I'm kind of like, shh, run. But again, we're getting back to this idea of like, how does my life bless others? Because that's where God wants us to be. And he just doesn't want us to survive in this life. I said this earlier. He wants you to thrive in this life. He doesn't want you to just make it through the day. And in the process, not only does he want you to thrive, he wants you to show this world what a Savior looks like. And what this Savior that we're told in the scripture here, who has this compassion for them. That needs to be what comes out of us, and this is the goal. And so I want to just look at something that Jesus said here, because there's two things that I think we need to kind of wrestle with here in closing with this whole sermon series, and it's this. Jesus says these words. It says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We need to ask ourselves, why are the workers so few? He's talking to his disciples here. He's talking to us, those who come to church, those who say we are Christ followers, those who say we love God. Why are the workers so few? Is it because we're still trying to control our life? Is it because we're walking more in the flesh than we are walking in the spirit? I'm not going to answer that for you. But I pray that it leads to some healthy prayer and discussion with the Lord today. Why are the workers so few? I believe if we allow God to work in our lives, we can be part of the spiritual harvest in the world that's going to have this eternal impact. The second thing we need to look at here is the second part of this verse, and it says, Jesus says to his disciples, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And here's where we conclude this morning. If you're willing, if you're feeling dangerous, ask God to make you part of this process, to be one of those workers. But this is a dangerous prayer because it involves a few things. It involves us to pay attention to what season we are in our lives. It calls us to pay attention to the process that God is taking us through. And so in today, in closing, I would just say, as we think back to this series, as you think back through the series here and even this message today, where have you seen yourself described? Have you just recently been planted in the faith? Are you currently in a season of growth? Are you in a season of pruning maybe? Or are you experiencing the richness of the harvest? All these seasons have their place in the life of the believer. The question is, which one are you in? And are you willing to allow God to have his way in that process? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time that we can have in your word. As we looked at these scriptures over the last 4 weeks, God, I pray, Lord, that we would not be distracted by anything, Lord, that we would have a clear sense of where we are in your process, Lord. We looked at the different soils, Lord. We looked at how we are to grow. God, we spent time looking at the process of pruning that you take us through so that we could look more like your son, Jesus. And today we look at what the harvest is, the ultimate goal that you're trying to accomplish in each of our lives and the lives of the people around us, God. God, it's my prayer that you would work through me, that you would work through us as a church to make a difference in this world, God. Lord, we believe that you have placed this seed of gospel truth in us, the gospel message of your son Jesus, and all that he had accomplished through the cross and through his resurrection inside of us so that we can grow into the men and women you desire us to be, to see that beautiful harvest in our lives. So God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would enable us to submit to your work in our lives, Lord, that we would be open to receiving that. And in doing so, Lord, that you would make us instruments that are useful and purposeful for your kingdom. Here on earth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.